This is a Bit Seduce exclusive, the ultimate tracker for seduction and self-improvement, the number one resource for pickup artists.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Welcome to your Style Life Academy teleseminar hosted by StyleLife.com. Your host today will be the man who earned the title of number one pickup artist 3 years running, Neil Strauss, a.k.a. Style, the author of The Game, Penetrating the Secret Society of Pickup Artists. Our guest today is a character in The Game named David Shade, who can be found at davidshade.com. David specializes in helping you to discover the inner forbidden secrets of female sexuality. By speaking on this call, you are agreeing to release all rights and grant permission to StyleLife.com to use this recorded conference call in whole or in part for any purpose with no further compensation due. Without any further ado, I would like to introduce your Style Life Academy founder and headmaster, Neil Strauss, known to many of you simply as Style.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. Hey, everyone. This is Don Diego Garcia on the line. We are waiting for Style. Hopefully, he'll make it on the call. But if not, fortunately, I'm here in backup, and I'm so terribly, terribly excited to have David Shade on the call. David, how you doing?
I'm doing really good, Diego. How you doing?
Oh, my God. That deep voice just makes my whole self reverberate. Love it.
Got to work on the boy.
We've got some exciting things to talk about today. I was fortunate enough, actually, to meet David not too long ago at a local Lair event out here. Was it the sixth anniversary?
That's right.
It was the sixth anniversary of our local Lair out here in San Francisco. David Shade came out to talk, and everyone was blown away. I was blown away. It's just great stuff. And I remember you saying that you're not so much involved in what's called the pickup aspect, but more like the service after the sale. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I call it.
How do you explain that, and how does that work for you?
Yeah, you know, I was very much involved in the pickup community and still very much all of my friends are in the pickup community. But I don't teach pickup. My specialty is service after the sale. What you do once you have the girl, once you're in an ongoing sexual relationship, that's the part I enjoy the most. And the part I find most interesting is how to give them wild screaming orgasms, how to make them fall madly in love with you, that kind of thing.
That'll work. So let's go back. Let's take a step back in time and see, how did you get started in this whole mess of giving and teaching other men how to give women wild screaming orgasms?
Well, my research really started about 15 years ago after my divorce. After my divorce, I felt very defeated and alone. And I wanted to really figure out what makes for a successful relationship, what makes for selecting women wisely, because it turns out I had selected a woman that had low self-esteem, which is eventually why it all ended. And at the same time, I was at the bars meeting younger women who were not having orgasms. I thought, I've never had a problem with this. What do I have to do to make sure that they have orgasms? So I went to the bookstores. I read all the books on sexuality. I tried using the things in the books and was not very impressed. So I just decided to try stuff. And some stuff really started to work that I'd never seen written before. So I thought, all right, I'm just going to be my own instructor. At the same time, I had custody of my two small children, so on weeknights, I'd have to put them to bed at 9 o'clock, and I was stuck at home. So I turned to the telephone, and there was a local magazine in our area where singles could put in an ad, and you could call a 900 number and leave a message and your phone number, and then the women would call you. So every night about 9 o'clock, the phone would ring. I'd tell them to call after 9. And I would talk to all these women. And because I had to do everything over the telephone, I thought, what can I do with the telephone? And I became very good at building an emotional relationship over the phone and getting these women to feel close to me. And interestingly enough, fully 80% of these women on the very first call would end up having phone sex with me. And these were all educated, professional women, had a career, had a future, who were looking for a serious relationship, but with this anonymous man on the phone, they would end up having phone sex. And at the same time, I was developing my voice, because on the phone, that's all you have to go by. So I thought, wow, this is really amazing. This is completely contradictory to anything I'd ever thought, that women were this incredibly sexual. So I was finding out how very powerful the mental aspects are, and I was finding new sexual techniques. And I continued to develop them, and some really wild and bizarre things were happening. And then when the internet came around, I started researching on the internet, and I started writing about some of the things that I had done, and I was getting a lot of feedback and further questions. So I wrote some more, and I also learned about some renegade psychological techniques like NLP. I went and took a hypnosis class to really leverage the mental aspects of sexuality for a woman. And I wrote quite a bit, and people were really enjoying what I was writing. So I took all of those writings together and put them together into a book, David Shade's Manual. And that has sold worldwide. There's been a lot of acclaim for that. And I've continued to develop the techniques. Believe me, I never thought I would be in a position teaching this stuff. I just wanted to learn at one time.
Right.
I can tell you about how I met Neil.
Yeah, let's go back. You mentioned in the book, the game, Penetrating the Secret Society of Pickup Artists. It's a few brief mentions.
Yeah, people are referring to my blog. When I got on the internet, I was actually on the internet for a while before I found out about the seduction community. At the time, I was hanging out with some total naturals. I live here in the Detroit area, and I was hanging out with some total naturals. So I didn't have any problem going to bars and meeting women. I was hanging out with these naturals, but then they started disappearing. One guy got engaged. Another guy moved away. Another guy turned into a drunk. Another guy just got out of it altogether. So I thought, yeah, I got to find other guys to hang out with.
Right.
So I did a search on the word seduction, and I found this news group, alt.seduction.fast. And that was a long time ago. That was like 98. And met a lot of guys in there, and I met Mystery. And I went to Toronto in summer of 99 and hung out with Mystery and started meeting a bunch of guys in the community. And then in 2002, I was working in San Jose on a project, and I go up into San Francisco on the weekends and hang out with the guys in San Francisco. And one night, they arranged for Style to meet up with us. And I was really looking forward to that. And we all had dinner at this one restaurant, and Style really amazed me in one thing, and that is he is an absolute Jedi with rapport. Of all the guys I met in the community, he absolutely is a Jedi at rapport, fabulous rapport. And I knew, okay, this guy makes friends really quickly. He makes people feel very good, makes people feel like they're his good friend. Yeah, this guy is good.
And indeed he is. Indeed he is. No doubt about that.
Yeah, he is. And so we had a lot to talk about, and we shared quite a few ideas. And he actually wrote about that in the game, but that got edited out. So he posted the lost chapter on his website. And on my blog, I have a link to that lost chapter, as well as my comments about meeting Neil and my comments about that chapter, and go to davidshadesblog.com. At davidshadesblog.com, you can read about the lost chapter.
As David Shades, S-H-A-D-E-S.
Yes.
Yeah, plural, or possessive without the apostrophe, I guess.
Correct. And so the only thing left in the actual game, I think, is one or two mentions of my name near the end of the book. But I have comments about meeting Neil, comments about the chapter. And it's an interesting chapter. He says that he met me and I was wearing a pocket protector.
A few writing utensils in it?
No, I don't know where he got that from. So it's interesting. He has an interesting perspective on me, so you'll have to check that out. But it makes for fun reading.
Right.
Now, I was again in San Francisco just about a month and a half ago when I met up with you.
Indeed.
And talked to the 6th anniversary lair.
That was exciting.
Celebration, and it was a fabulous event. It was their biggest turnout ever, and it was a full room, and we had a lot of fun. I enjoyed meeting everybody, and I gave a presentation there, and if you want me to, I can go into what I talked about there.
That would be excellent. I think I love the stories you had as, I guess, when you were at home, and you couldn't really get out much, so you had to use the phone, and the phone had to be your avenue of communication, so you just developed this stellar phone game.
Yeah, killer phone game. It was lethal.
I like the ironing story.
Yeah, okay, I'll get into that. you know, because I was stuck at home, I had to do everything over the telephone, and because I felt very defeated after my divorce, I wanted to know if I still had a sexual effect on women. I still wanted to be a sexual creature. And at the same time, I also found that the phone calls were very therapeutic for me because at the time I was 36 and the women that I talked to on the phone were about 30 or 31. And I tried to select women that were recently divorced. So we had a lot to talk about what we were going through with our breakup. And I found it to be very therapeutic. But I got very good at making them feel like they could trust me, making them feel like they could tell me their secrets, and that it made them feel better to tell me their secrets, where I built that emotional connection with them. And then building that emotional connection, then I was able to move it into a sexual direction by taking that emotional connection and turn it romantically, such as talking about a hypothetical date that she and I might go on. Once I had that strong emotional connection foundation and moved it romantic, then I could slowly, very seemingly, very unconsciously move it into a sexual direction.
It's brilliant.
And they would be very sexual. And because it was anonymous and I didn't know anything about them, they were able to get into the fantasy. They were able to make it real in their mind. And then I would go right into the sexual. And next thing you know, we're actually having phone sex. And I did this every single weeknight. And it was addictive. You know, I got addicted to it. It's like, how far can I push this?
Right.
And at the same time, though, I had to work the next day. And I had to have a clean shirt for work. So I would actually iron my shirt while I'm talking on the phone. And I'd run errands around my house. And I'd literally be getting women off on the phone while I was doing my laundry.
That's crazy.
And I wasn't getting much sleep because I was pushing the envelope so far, and I had to do this every night because I had found this whole new world that I didn't know existed and I had not read about. And I thought it was kind of strange, you know, usually men have to pay $5.99 a minute to call someone to have phone sex.
Isn't that crazy?
But these women were calling me every night and were having phone sex. And I pushed the envelope where I was able to get women off without even touching themselves. And I could get women off as many times as I wanted to. And I could get them to continue their orgasm for as long as I wanted to.
Love it. Love it. I happen to be online right now, and I'd like to remind all our callers that we have this awesome flash chat system set up for all of our members at stylife.com/eliteforums/chat/flashchat.php, and you have to be a member to log in. I've got a bunch of great members here. They've got a couple of questions for you. And I know that I like all of the teachings. I like the high level and low level. I think some people are only high level teachers and some people are only like low level teachers. And I like the concepts you're saying, you know, and I think you've already answered a lot of these questions talking about how you move from, you know, basic conversation to more emotional level conversation to more romantic conversation. Here's a specific question by the thespian. He says, what are some of your typical emotional, romantic questions, conversational threads that you might use? I think what they're looking for is more like the exact words you might use on a given phone conversation.
Yeah, looking for very specific examples.
Right.
All right. You know, before we get into questions, let me do a little legalese here.
Right? Okay.
Which we should have done at the top of the call. First of all, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I cannot give personal advice, legal advice, or medical advice. This is just narration of my personal experiences. You are responsible for your own actions. Just wanted to get that out of the way.
Right.
Also, like we talked about earlier, I don't teach seduction. There's plenty of guys that are great at that, especially style. So guys can go to that. But if you're interested in giving your woman wild screaming orgasms, and if you're interested in service after the sale, that's my specialty. Now, if you want to talk specific examples of what you say when you're on the phone.
Exactly.
To move things in that direction, there is an excellent resource that I have. In fact, I'm going to offer this to guys on the phone. I just cut these CDs, which were a 2-hour teleseminar I did with my clients, and my top clients were guest speakers on there. I had 4 guest speakers. One guy was especially good. His name is Joe, and he gave a very detailed description of exactly what you do to get a woman from the internet onto the phone and then move it sexual.
Okay.
And, you know, back when I was doing it, back in 92, there wasn't the internet, there was not caller ID, none of that. It's a completely different world now. Mm-hmm. And one of my clients, Joe, has made that a science of getting women from the internet onto the phone and then into a sexual contact.
Love it.
And I'm going to include those 2 CDs, 2-hour CDs, just for your customers. If they go to my website, go to givewomenhotphonesex.com.
givewomenhotphonesex.com.
Yep, givewomenhotphonesex.com. And they'll go to a special page on my website just for the people on this call. And if they buy today, I'll give them $25 off, and they'll get my product, Give Women Hot Phone Sex, where it's a 3-hour product where I discuss this for an hour and a half, and for an hour and a half are actual recordings, both sides of the recording, actual recordings of me doing dirty talk, and you hear the ensuing actual female orgasms, multiple orgasms, extended orgasms. So actual examples, and I will include that 2-hour teleseminar in that. So it's a total of 5 CDs. Now, it's not shown on the page there, but I'll include them for the Style Life guys that order today. And Joe gives excellent examples. Now, it's a different world now because there's the internet.
And right.
Caller ID and all that stuff. Not nearly as much anonymity as there used to be. But what Joe would do is he would be chatting to them online, and he would move it to the phone. And he said, you got to move it to the phone within a half hour. If you don't move it to the phone within a half hour, move on to the next one.
Hmm.
And
up or out?
Say again?
There's a philosophy in the business world. You're either moving up in the organization or out.
Yeah, right. And then he'd get them onto the phone. And what I would do on the phone is I would say to them, I would share common experiences. And then I would say, wow, you know, I really feel like I can tell you anything and you accept this. And she said, oh, yeah, I feel the same way. And little by little, I would give a little about myself and give her a little bit of a reward, which would allow her to open up more and provide more secrets and make her feel closer. And then I would say, wow, I feel very close to you. She said, oh, yeah, I do too. And then I would start talking about what did they really want? What were they really looking for? And they would start talking about that. But the interesting thing is all those feelings that they had got linked to our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would highlight those feelings, and then I would say, and how would you know that you have that?
Right.
What is the situation? And they would describe that situation. And then I would say, and what would it be like if we were on a date? And she would describe it, or she would ask me to describe it. And then I would describe in intricate detail what that date would be like.
Mm.
And I'd simply progress it through the date.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I found that some themes can be neutral. Like, I think a lot of guys, they struggle with moving from what they call normal conversation to what I might call sensual, romantic, sexual conversation. I've found really interesting things in, like, food. You can talk about food in a very sensual way, eating. You can talk about music in a very sensual way. What other kind of themes do you use to move from, like, normal chit-chat to the really good stuff?
You know what? It's going to move in a sensual direction. I mean, if a woman is going out with you, she's going out with you because she wants a sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman is going out with you, she is yours to lose. She expects it to go into a sexual direction eventually.
Now, so it's more a question of finding the line between going too slow and going too fast, or is it more a matter of leading?
Yeah, you always should be leading. She does expect you to lead. You absolutely must lead.
I think that's a huge challenge point for a lot of guys. They're just basically not leading. That's really the bottom line.
Yes, that's very true. That is a real problem for men. But they have to understand that the woman expects them to lead. She wants you to lead. That's your job. Okay? You know, we're getting a lot into the seduction stuff. I didn't want to go in that direction, but we are touching upon the framework in which things happen, which is very good. And that framework is women want to be treated with respect. That's a good thing. Women should be treated with respect. You will find that when you treat women with respect, you actually get a lot farther. You actually get a lot more responsiveness. When you are in a relationship with a woman, at all times you treat her with respect. But at the same time, you have respect for the fact that she wants to be a sexual creature.
Right. Don't forget that.
And, you know, a lot of guys do find it confusing. How can you be respectful, but at the same time you have phone sex with somebody that you just met?
It
has all to do with context. It's
mm.
context in which it happened. It's the context in which it takes place. Now, in a relationship, when you and her are out at dinner, out and about, or in the living room, you always treat her with a great deal of respect. But in the bedroom, in the context of sexuality, in the context of heightened sexual arousal, you also respect the fact that she wants to be a sexual creature.
Mm-hmm.
And women are highly sexual creatures, much more so than men. Most men can even comprehend, than can even handle. When a woman is in the bedroom with her man that she trusts, with her man that treats her with respect, she wants to get sexual. She wants to get naughty. She wants to get ruthlessly expressive. And it's going to take a man who respects the fact that she wants to be sexual. And that means he's going to have to talk dirty. That means he's going to have to lead. That means he's going to have to tell her when she's going to come. All these things. This is what women want. Women expect the man to do the man's job.
Right. I think dirty talk is essential. It's a fun topic to talk about. And it's another one where men can get right or they can get wrong. Sometimes you can do dirty talk and it'll turn her on. Sometimes you can do it and it'll turn her off. So how can guys be able to do that right better?
Yeah, and you asked earlier about timing. It really has to do with timing and it has to do with context.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of guys have said, oh, women don't like dirty talk. Or they'll say, my woman doesn't like dirty talk. Yeah. If you hear a woman say she doesn't like dirty talk, it's because her man is doing it wrong.
Yep.
There is an actually extremely small number of women who do not like dirty talk. And that may be due to sexual abuse in her youth or some very serious emotional problems. But women like dirty talk. Women are submissive creatures, sexually submissive, only in the sexual context. Women actually like dirty talk. If a woman says she doesn't like dirty talk, you're doing it wrong. And it all has to do with timing and context. And everything must be appropriate. You know, you can't talk dirty out in the living room in a neutral context.
Right.
Okay. But in the bedroom, you are expected to. But it's based on the context in the bedroom. When you two, let's say, in the bedroom, you two are undressing each other, you know, you still keep it romantic. And you talk about, oh, baby, you're so beautiful to me. I love looking at you. And then when she's lying on your bed naked, you say, oh, baby, you look so beautiful lying on my bed. All these things make her feel beautiful, make her feel sexual, make her feel desired, and you're still treating her with respect. But at the same time, you're respecting the fact that she wants to get downright naughty. So you slowly move things along, so you're both lying naked on the bed, kissing, you're lightly touching her. Then you can slowly escalate. You know, oh, baby, you really turn me on. And a lot of dirty talk is simply a matter of narrating what's going on, okay? Let's say you're rubbing her clitoris. Oh, yeah, baby, does that feel good? Well, of course it feels good. You're rubbing her clitoris.
Exactly.
All right? While at the same time you're leading. You're leading her mentally. You're leading her by you instigating, by you initiating. And, of course, all the time, she is complying and becoming increasingly aroused. And you increase the naughtiness of the naughty talk. And it, like, let's say you're rubbing her clitoris and she's getting really close. Oh, yeah, baby. Hey, I know you want to come. I know you want to come so fucking hard. But don't come yet. Not yet. And you're always leading her, yet teasing her and toying with her. This demonstrates that you're driving, which is very powerful for a woman. Okay, and then let's say we progress 10, 15 minutes later. She's on her hands and knees. You're pounding her hard doggy style. She's about to come, and you can write off, yeah, you're my naughty little slut, and you love it when I fuck you hard. You know, and you talk as naughty as you want then.
Oh, yeah.
And it, come now, bitch. And she loves it, even though you called her a slut.
That's brilliant.
But you have to call her my slut.
That's a perfect segue. We have a question on the Flash chat by Method Union. It says, we were talking about phone sex. How about real sex? And you already made that transition. I remember you had a brilliant story about a lady who came over, and you talked about disrobing and how you're disrobing her or you in successive nights and how that worked out.
Talk about that story I had again. Say that again.
She came over, and you were disrobing each other, and she had some resistance at some point, and how you handled that.
Well, my most recent girlfriend, yeah, okay, let's talk about resistance. When, yeah, I don't want to get into the seduction stuff. I want to stick
absolutely.
I want to stick with what you're doing in a relationship or a relationship that's starting up. All right, I don't want to talk about how do you get a woman to have sex with you. I want to talk about what you do when a woman does want to have sex with you.
Right.
All right. You know, you guys can go to Style, a bunch of other guys, very good at telling you how to get women into the bedroom. All right. Now, there is going to be resistance. The first time, all right, let's start from the situation. Let's say you met a woman that night at the bar. You had no knowledge of her in your life before that. You two just met each other. Let's say you two end up going back to your place, go in the bedroom, get naked, and you end up having intercourse. All right. She sees you as a one-night stand.
Mm-hmm.
She probably will not, she might not see you again. Now, there are exceptions to that. And I know a couple who consummated the relationship the first day they even knew about each other, and they're still very happy together. There are exceptions.
It happens.
But if a woman sleeps with you the first night she meets you, she probably won't see you again because she thinks that you think that she's a slut.
I think some people call that buyer's remorse.
Yeah, it's the one-night stand clause. If a woman sleeps with a man the first night she meets him, she won't see him again.
Right.
Now, if you're interested in being the bumblebee that goes from flower to flower, you know, and there's certainly opportunity out there. There's a lot of women who, you know, they're at the nightclub. They just want to get bent over and slapped. Right? There's certainly a lot of opportunity. But
okay. But
you're going to be going from flower to flower. Now, let's say you meet one you really like, and you want to keep seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that going back to your house the night that you met her is probably too soon to go back to your house. You want
right.
to go back to your house the second night you meet her, and you actually want to have intercourse the third night that you're with her. Now, you do this for a very important reason. You want to build up that mental aspect. You want to build up the sexual tension. You want to build up the mental appreciation for what's going on. Now, when you meet her that night at a nightclub, and then you move to somewhere else, you end up going out to breakfast at some restaurant together, what or somebody's party, whatever, then break it off. You know, stay out as late as you want with her, but eventually break it off. Don't invite her back to your house. But if you did everything right, she's going to want to see you again. All right, so then you guys go out for a day two or your first date. And, you know, whatever you do on your date, you could go back to your place. You could actually go as far as the bedroom, but do not go as far as intercourse. And then the next time you guys see each other, the third time you're together, then it's okay to move into the bedroom and into intercourse. Now, that's as fast as you want it to go if you're interested in the long term. Now, what's going to happen the first night that she met you and you guys ended up going out late, right? And then she goes home, she's going to think about you a lot if you did everything right. Now, the second night that you guys are together and you go into the bedroom, maybe you disrobe somewhat, do some touching, but it doesn't go as far as intercourse. Then when she goes home, I assure you, she's going to be thinking about you a lot. In fact, she will probably masturbate. Now, the third night when you guys are together and you move things into the bedroom, then you really leverage the mental stuff. When you're both naked, don't quickly go to intercourse, but instead draw it out. Say, take her right hand and move it down to her clit and say, I know what you did last night.
Mm-hmm.
You were a naughty girl.
You took
this hand right here and you put it right here. That's right. And make her start rubbing herself.
Mm.
And she relives the fantasy that she already had for you. And you've had her do something very taboo in front of you, which is a woman masturbating in front of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Most women is very taboo. So you've already let her through one taboo. So you've already led her quite a bit and given her a very powerful orgasm based on a fantasy that she already had about you. And, okay, then you're on the road to high responsiveness. Now let's get to the example that the questioner had, and that is, I think he's talking about something that I may have mentioned in my talk in Montreal last year, and somebody had a similar question about how do you demonstrate trust? And
that's a good one.
The problem of getting her clothes off, the resistance is the word I was looking for, is a perfect example of that. That's a perfect opportunity to demonstrate trust. Now, in this most recent relationship, the woman that I was dating and we went to the bedroom, I think it was the second time we were together. We met at the nightclubs. Then we were together one day at my house and nothing happened. Then the next time we were together, we went to the bedroom and I had no problem getting her top off. She took off her bra, and then I went to, and she took off my shirt. I said, okay, things are progressing. And then I went to take off her pants. And she said, no, my pants are not coming off. Well, I knew what she was saying. She was saying that she did not want this to move on to intercourse. It was too soon. So I knew what she was saying. But I still wanted to lead her. I knew that the night before she had masturbated about me. So I said, no, my pants aren't coming off. And then I took her right hand and I put it in her pants and I said, I know what you did last night. You were a naughty little girl. You took this hand right here and you put it right here. And I made her start rubbing herself, bringing to real life the fantasy that she had had about me. And she was really getting into it. She was getting really aroused. And then she said, I want you to make me come. I took off her pants. And then I rubbed her. And, of course, I milked that one for everything I could. And my pants stayed on the whole night. I did not even mention anything about it.
Right.
All right, and then we did the post-coital rebonding, very, very important, after an exciting sexual experience. You have to do that cuddling. You have to say, oh, baby, I feel so close to you, yada, yada.
It's essential.
To return the relationship to a respectful, loving, emotional relationship so that she doesn't have any slut remorse. And that was really good for her. And then the next time we went into my bedroom, a few nights later, all the clothes came off effortlessly.
Ah.
See, so I had demonstrated that I was trustworthy. At the same time, it didn't trip me up. I still led her. It was still very exciting for her. What she wanted was still accomplished. She didn't want it to go to intercourse the previous night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? and I didn't push it.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
You know, if she is coming over to your house and going into your bedroom and taking her top off, she is yours to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have to push it.
Right.
You need to leverage all of these things. All right, and that woman became a highly responsive woman to me, and we had a very exciting relationship. And had a wonderful time. Had a great time.
Love it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we could, I would really, really like to get to two questions. We got 10 minutes before we're going to take Q&A from our wonderful membership. And I'd like to get to really two questions. We've handled pretty much, thank you for getting to the beginning parts, I realize that, and the middle parts. Two more questions. Here we go. I'm going to ask both of them at the same time. The first one is, for a mature relationship, I know you're in a mature relationship, I'm in a mature relationship, how do you keep, you know, the sex exciting, right? How do you keep it alive, fresh, new, you know, good stuff like that? And then before we end off and go to questions in about 10 minutes, I think the guys want to talk about threesomes a little bit.
All right. Okay. Two good questions. How do you keep it exciting? And that is, you make it different every time. A little bit different. It's got to be a little bit different, sometimes wildly different. There are also going to be highs and lows. In a mature relationship, there are going to be low points. It's going to happen. If the two people are compatible, have high self-esteem, intelligent, are committed to the relationship, they are going to get through it because they value the relationship. Those lull points are going to happen, those valleys. That's okay. The two people have to be mature enough to be able to handle it. But absolutely, you need to make things slightly different every time.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot become predictable. Notice that eventually, you know, men tend to get into predictable patterns. We work
right.
That. That's the way we work.
Mm-hmm.
Women do not want us to work with them that way, especially if you want to really make the mental aspects powerful. You need to shake it up.
Creativity is a big part of it.
Right. That's true. You have to be putting thought into it. You know, you just cannot go autopilot all the time. You have to put thought into this. And another example of putting thought into things is guys who are in a mature relationship, they tend to get into very predictable patterns, and they don't put a lot of thought into Saturday night's date with their woman. What they'll do is they'll say, well, honey, where you want to go tonight? And she'll say, I don't know where you want to go. I don't know where you want to go. Bomber.
Mm-hmm.
Boring.
Nope. No leading.
The man has to drive. On Saturday night, the man has to lead. He has to have a plan. He has to know where they're going to go to dinner, where they're going to go dancing, what time these things are going to happen. And, of course, if she suggests something else, you can go with that. You have to remain flexible. Now, when he has a plan, you absolutely have to have a plan. So it's going to take some thought. You know, how important is it to you? And women expect this. Now, there are other things that I do in a relationship. I will have a particular underlying theme that could go on for many weeks, like getting my woman interested in having threesome. That'll be an underlying theme that'll take many weeks, where I'll just touch upon it once or twice a week over many weeks. And then there are little microcosms of excitement and very small themes that will happen. So you have all these overlapping things always going on. Now, a micro thing, just switch things up completely differently. Don't always do it in the same place. Do it somewhere else. Do it in a different way. Whatever. Always looking to make occasionally it completely different. Another thing you do is sometimes you just aren't interested in sex. There will be those times where she might want to have it, but you simply don't do it. You don't go there. You don't give any indications. You don't necessarily say outright you don't want to have it. You just don't respond in that way. Every once in a while, very occasionally, don't have sex. This maintains the value of the sex. It keeps things different. Keeps things unpredictable. There are a number of things you can do. And another thing is you need to always be pushing her. Now, this is especially early in the first few months of relationship. Let's say from the time you've been with her for 2 or 3 months up to about 9 months. During that time, from 2 months to 9 months, in that time, you have to be leading her. You have to be bringing her into new experiences, which she might have been too inhibited to do, but mm-hmm. you know that if she had were to do these things, you would find them to be tremendously exciting and would make the relationship even more strong. And you need to be willing to lose her. You need to have the courage to say, I've got to make this work.
Be brave to do that.
Be brave.
And that shows.
And you know what? 99.9% of the time, she will do it with you, and she will find it very exciting. But you have to be brave enough to bring her through these experiences. And you have to be secure enough in yourself to be willing to lose her.
That's magic.
If you don't get it to work, you may end up losing her anyway.
You talk about counterintuitive. I think a part of us all thinks that to keep a person, you know, it's like a child. You see a child, they grab onto their parent's leg, and it's just like they won't let go. And we grow up and we think, well, that's how you keep someone. You glom onto them like glue, and you just stick to them, and that'll help to keep them around. Uh-uh. It's like you said, if you're willing to lose them, if you have a direction and a force of direction and a personal integrity, that's attractive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let me take the last question from our flash chat.
That brings up another example, which actually goes into the next question about threesomes.
Right.
Let's say the woman you're dating is bisexual. There are plenty of ways to covertly determine that. Or you can just outright ask her if she's ever had a fantasy of being with another woman. Now, you need to do that in the correct context in order to get her to tell you the truth. And that is, you have been dating her for a while, let's say 2 or 3 months. She is highly responsive to you. You two are in an intimate moment in the bedroom in the context of heightened sexual arousal, and you bring up the concept of fantasies.
Mm.
And you start with something very tame. You say, you know, you could be rubbing her, and right before she comes, she says, I'm not going to let you come until you tell me a fantasy.
Talk about an anchor.
And so the first fantasy she's going to tell you is probably going to be something pretty tame. She's not going to tell you the really deep, dark ones. So you reward her good behavior and give her awesome sex. And then the next night, you don't want to be predictable. In some completely different context, somewhere where you have her in a sexual context where she was somewhat aroused, then you can discuss fantasies again. Eventually, you can get to the point where you can say, if you don't want to ask her, you can simply lead her through an experience, a fantasy, where you can say, now I want you to think about a woman licking your clit. You know, a great way to do this is phone sex. You say, oh, yeah, now I want you to, and you have to work into it, eventually where you make it her reality that a woman is licking her clit. And see how she responds. If she responds great and is highly aroused, bingo, we have a winner.
Green light.
Okay. Most, a survey, a study done at Northwestern University, I don't know how they did this, you know, showed movies and weighed tampons, I have no idea. So the study at Northwestern University found out that all women are turned on by female-on-female erotica.
Wow.
All women are, without exception. Okay? But there are going to be some women who absolutely, for whatever reason, are not going to be with another woman. And that's fine. If having threesomes is important to you, she's not going to work out for you. Okay, you need to let her go and move on. But that is pretty small percentage of women. There are some women who, yeah, they could take her to leave it. You know, so you have a possible candidate there. There are some women who absolutely would love to be with another woman. That's the ones you want. And you're not going to know that the night you meet them. They're not going to tell you that. It's going to take getting to know them for a while where you establish a trusting relationship. And you will probably find that if you are in a trusting relationship and the sex is really exciting, she's going to want to have a threesome. You know, and guys have asked me, how do I get my woman to have a threesome?
Bingo.
What you do, give her really exciting sex. Make it a really exciting relationship. And she'll bring it up to you. And that has happened to me. You know, just work on making the relationship really exciting. And then she will divulge to you, by the way, I really like women. I'd like us to share a woman together.
That's magic.
Okay? Because with you, she could actually live all of her fantasies because she already is having a very exciting sexual relationship with you, and she knows with you that she could live all of her fantasies, all those things she wanted to do. Well, she finally met a man that she could actually feel good about doing that with. And bingo, you have a woman that wants threesomes. And there are a number of ways to get your woman interested in having threesomes if she does not herself bring it up.
Okay.
Now, there are plenty of women who would love to be with another woman but may not bring it up for whatever reason. There are a number of ways to get her interested in doing that. And I discuss that in my product, but I'll give you one example. In my most recent relationship, I decided I'd just push the envelope even further. I did not ask her if she was interested in being women. I did not ask her about that particular fantasy. I just told her one week, Friday night, I'm buying you a lap dance. And she, oh, is that so? I said, yes, we are going to such and such a strip club at 10 p.m. I am picking you up at 8 p.m., and we're going to go to such and such restaurant, and then we're going to the strip club. Oh, I see. So you're going to bring me to a strip club, huh? Yes, that is correct. So you want to wear heels, and we're going to such and such a restaurant. And you know, you just talk about the details of it.
Mm.
And I will be at your house at 8. I see. Oh, I see. Okay. You know? So I picked her up at 8. We went out to dinner, and I took her to the strip club. And we sat there and watched the girls go by. And watched a few girls go by, and we ordered $20 drinks. And then I said, okay, so what do you think of her? She said, yeah, you know, she's nice.
Yeah, find the one she likes.
Yeah, she has nice breasts. Bingo. Okay. Yeah, okay. And then I said, well, here's a dollar. Put a dollar, hold a dollar out, and she'll come and get it. No, I don't want to give her a dollar. Okay. And then, you know, a few more women walked by, and she said, I'm going to give her a dollar. Okay. So she gave her a dollar, and they had a little chat, you know, while the naked girl leaned over the runway, and they talked a little bit. And the girl said, oh, you are so cute. And my girlfriend, oh, thank you. And she asked about me, and they talked for a little bit, and then she went on. And then later, another stripper came over and said, hi, how you guys doing? You want me to sit and talk to you for a while? And I turned to my girlfriend. She said, sure, have a seat. So they started talking, and they were having a really good rapport and really enjoying each other. So I said to my girlfriend, would you like for me to buy a lap dance for you from her? She said, yeah, I'd like for her to dance for me. So the girl said, okay. And she took us into a private room where lap dances cost twice as much. You know, this stripper just saw us as a big cash register, you know.
Right.
I'm going to take them for all the money they got. And so she started dancing for my girlfriend. And my girlfriend was really getting into it and really getting aroused. And, of course, this dancer just kept on dancing and dancing, lamp dancing on her. And an insane bill of like $80. And I said, okay, that's good. Thank you. And I paid the stripper $80. Crazy.
Mm.
And my girlfriend loved it.
Genius. Pure
and
genius.
Went from there. And, you know, I really pushed the envelope. I tried something new. I had never talked to her about bisexuality, never talked about that particular fantasy. I just said, Friday night, I'm buying you a lap dance.
Again, it was leading. It was direct. It was experimental. Mm-hmm. You didn't know what was going to happen. And it was successful.
Yep. And then, you know, in subsequent dates, we talked about, all right, we're going to go out there and we're going to meet women. And I got to know her rules, which weren't any, really. I assured her of the context in which it would happen, that it was for the enhancement of the relationship, and this and that. Assuring her that she is my woman, all this and that. And I didn't necessarily do that so I could have threesomes. I did it to make the relationship even more exciting, to see to it that she was able to live her fantasies, which would be being with a woman.
That's something she's not going to forget.
Yep.
That's something she's going to tell her girlfriends about. In a good way.
Or maybe not.
But that's something that she's going to, when she thinks of you, she's going to think of that as a special connection that you two have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, it's Style. I apologize for
hey, Style.
For hopping on at 11.
You sound great.
Why, thank you. I'm all ready for the sleep experiment. Anyways,
you're just in time for the Q&A. We're just over the hour, and I was just about to call Stephanie on to start the Q&A.
Hey, before you do, just one other question. I don't know if you've discussed it already, but have you discussed tandem hunting at all, the next part of this?
Hey, Neil. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Thank you for doing this, by the way.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Great.
Yeah, tandem hunting. Yeah, we can discuss that.
I would love to discuss the your sort of MO for that, or how you go about it.
Yeah.
Can we put this on also? This goes exactly well with tandem hunting. This is from the chat from Switch Low High. He says, David Shade is famous for threesomes threesomes with his long-term relationship, I had a question along this subject. I'm interested in the logistics of it. How do you convince a girl you met, say, in a bar to have sex with you and your girlfriend? How do you frame it so that it's clear what you want, a three-way and not one-on-one? And when you do introduce your girlfriend, without creeping out the target at any point, do you lead all the way of the interaction, or do you let the girlfriend sort of take it over and be the one who makes the transition from conversation towards sexual? Thank you, Switch Lohi.
A very good question. He pretty much covered all the topics right there.
Yeah, better ask than I did.
He's a smart guy.
Say again?
He's one of our smarter members.
Yeah, he is. He touched upon all the things that you are concerned about in an interaction. All right, so we've already discussed getting your woman interested in having threesomes. Then you have the little talk. Okay, here's the rules. Here's what will happen. Here's what won't happen, yada, yada. And then, okay, we're going to go out there and we're going to meet women. So you go to the nightclub or wherever you go. Actually, some places are better than others. The nightclub is great because there's lots of people, lots of pretty women, but they're there to see and be seen. Usually the pretty women are there with the girlfriends and they're interested in meeting their own long-term relationship man. It is possible, but it's not necessarily the really rich, target-rich environment. Actually, the best environment is the gay bars. The few women that are there, you absolutely can be certain they are bisexual. And it's very sexually approving context, and you don't necessarily have the resistance of friends like you do at the nightclubs. The lesbian bars, yeah, so-so. You know, when they see a couple walk in a lesbian bar, they know why the couple's there. In the lesbian bar, usually the lipstick bisexuals are looking for butch, and the butch are ready to have a fight with you. But it is possible. It's not necessarily target-rich like the gay bars are. But anyway, let's say you and your girlfriend go to the nightclub and you want to start talking to women and not creep them out, etc. Now, you absolutely have to have her on your arm. And you absolutely have to lead. You absolutely have to do the opener. You have to do the initial conversation, where your woman is on your arm, and you can go up to a single woman and say something very innocent. It could be about the environment. One that's really worked great for me is, oh, my girlfriend loves your belt. Where did you get your belt? By the way, your opener must always start with my girlfriend. And the first two words out of your mouth are my girlfriend, or if you're married, my wife. Okay, so you go up to the girl and you say, oh, my girlfriend loves your belt. Where'd you get your belt? And she turns to my girlfriend, oh, I got it, blah, 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 or I don't remember, or whatever. And then you can do a second opener. If that doesn't go, do a second opener. You mention something else, not about her clothing, but about the environment, or who are these people that you're here with, or something like that. I found that 99% of the time, single women are happy to talk to us. They're perfectly happy. They got a big smile on their face. They tell us who they're with. They're celebrating something, or she just got a promotion, just got a new job, whatever. There's always something to talk about. And it's very innocent. All right, so you have a little innocent conversation. Then you say to the woman, and this is my girlfriend, Anne. And then Anne and the woman will shake hands, and then I'll say to the woman, and I'm David, and I'll extend my hand. She'll shake my hand, and then I'll turn her hand over, and I'll look at her palm, and I'll say, very interesting. And she'll say, what? What does my palm say? I say, oh, do you want me to read your palm? Oh, yeah. And I'll read her palm. And eventually I will get to, and I'll say nice, fun things that really could be true for any woman that's intelligent and high self-esteem and fun-loving. And I'll eventually get to the point where there will be some some unique mark in her hand. And I'll say, ooh, and this is interesting. This is a sign of sexual adventurism. And they always laugh. And while she's laughing, I'll look up at her and I'll say, do you like women? And then they will give me an honest answer if her girlfriends are not within hearing distance. Okay. Now, my findings have been that about a third of the women will say, oh, no, I don't like women. And about one third of them will say, yeah, somewhat. And one third of them will say, they'll say something like, I'm not going to answer that. Or, yeah, or I've had that experience, or sometimes, or something like that. But there will be one third of the women will give to me a clear indication that they like women. If so, we keep talking. If not, we'll move on. Now, if we keep talking, eventually somewhere in the conversation, the two girls are going to start talking to each other a lot. Because that's what girls do. There's some thing they're going to start talking about that's common for them. At that point, what your girl does is gives out a little sexual communication, like a flick of the hair and a tilt of the head and that sultry smile. And then when the girl you're talking to does that back, then the two are exchanging that bisexual signal. All right. That is critically important. Once the two girls are sending back and forth that bisexual signal, then you know it's on. You continue talking. You do some kind of thing together where y'all get another round of drinks, where the three of you are into doing something specific together, which is separate from her friends, separate from anything else. The three of you have to engage in some kind of thing, and maybe the environment will give you that thing to do, some kind of activity. Let's say you move a few feet over, you get another drink together, you dare each other to take shots, something, some conniving thing that the three of you do together. And you talk for another 10, maybe 15 minutes. At some point, I'll say to the girl, wow, we really enjoy talking to you. We're really glad we met you. Give me a big hug. And she'll give me a big hug. And while she's hugging me, I'll say, my girlfriend would like it if you hugged me too. If you hugged her too. Okay. So she'd go over and hug my girlfriend. Step one is done. Then we'll do something else. What has happened is things will break up. She's got to go back to her girlfriends, or something else will happen. And later, 15 minutes later, half hour later, we're back together again. Or this conversation just continues. You know, she's just so enthralled with us that she just continues the conversation. And after things are getting really good, where the three of us are talking about really deep issues, like things we like to talk about are previous boyfriends of hers, frustrations she's had with men in the past, and I'm certainly the one to talk to about the problems that men have and why relationships fail, why relationships are exciting, etc. And then we will talk about our relationship. And this is very, very important, very powerful. We'll talk about how good our relationship is and what's really exciting about it. And then my girlfriend will go off, oh, yeah, and when we do this or do that, it's so hot, blah, blah, blah. All right. Then the three of us are communicating on a sexual level. At some point, I will say to the woman, we love talking to you. I need another hug. Give me a big hug. And she'll give me a hug, and then I'll slide my cheek back, and I'll kiss her. And every single time, they will kiss me passionately, right in front of my girlfriend. Because by then, they know what's going on. they know that it's okay to do that in front of their girlfriend, and plus they're finding the conversation very exciting, then I'll break the kiss off and I say, my girlfriend would love it if you kissed her too. Okay. And she'll go over to my girlfriend and kiss her, and they'll kiss passionately. And then I know it's on. Then we got the logistics. Now, this is the really tough part. She probably came with her girlfriends. That means she has to leave with her girlfriends. She's not going to leave with a couple. So in that situation, I reluctantly, if she cannot leave with us, I will reluctantly take her phone number. The problem with that is the next day she'll be sober, she'll be worried about her career, her education, finding her own man. But sometimes, and it's happened, they call and they want to meet up. Now, if we can, we will just take her back to our place that night. If we can't, what another couple has done is they've given the woman an excuse to give their girlfriends and see if that works. That is probably the toughest problem we have, is that logistics of getting her out of the place and getting her to our place. But I've actually found that the really good ones, the really, really good ones, if you get their phone number and you call them the next day, they are happy to meet up again. And you could possibly be in an ongoing threesome for some time, where you see her on a regular basis. I think I covered quite a bit there.
That was amazing.
I think this is going to be an audio program they're going to want to listen to over and over again and again.
I have one follow-up question before we open it up. Do you find that there's a difference in success between the times when you initiate physical contact, your girlfriend sort of instigates it?
You know, I don't think too much about physical contact. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think about Kino or anything like that. I really don't think about that in the context, in the conversation.
Or better yet, when you, in other words, in this one, when it's escalating, you know, the hugging and the kissing, you're sort of escalating, and then she, you know, and then passing it on to her, and you're sort of being the leader here. I've noticed in some cases, for example, and this is a great method which I've never tried and am very much looking forward to trying, what I would do is I would kind of bring somebody back, and it's sort of the girl I'm with is dropping the hints. The girl I'm with is saying, like, kind of, wouldn't it be fun? And she's sort of doing the flirting and suggesting, and I'm just sort of like sitting back and playing it cool and just sort of leading and guiding. And I had just noticed, if you're with a girl who's kind of good at this, who's good at suggesting these things, who's good at kind of dropping hints, who's kind of letting her know that it's okay, that it seemed, the success rate seemed higher. I don't know if you've experimented with having a girl who's more proactive.
My girlfriends have been proactive if they have met a woman who is really enjoying our conversation.
Right.
I found that it's the chemistry between the two girls that's critically important, that gets things moving along.
Right.
And it's like when the chemistry is really good between the two girls, it's like magic. But it doesn't necessarily mean that either of them are going to escalate. The girls, most girls are sexually submissive. They're bisexual, meaning that they are sexually attracted to women, but they've all been sexually submissive. They will do the flirtation. They will do that bisexual communication. But I have done the escalation, and I'm fine with that. And it's actually a good thing because it keeps me included. I don't want the two girls getting so wrapped up in themselves that they forget about me. And a lot of guys do that. They will have their woman do all the work, but those guys end up watching. That's the extreme end of it. I'm interested in the two girls having good chemistry with each other, and they will be very flirtatious, but they will not necessarily lead or escalate in the steps that need to happen. And I'm fine with doing that, and I will escalate when I sense that the time is right and quickly hand it over to my girl.
Right. So that's great. Yeah, that's makes sense. I think my best experience is the girl's always been the instigator and in leading her to be get with me and saying it's hot, whereas maybe I've done the physical escalation. One other question, and then we'll move on, which is interesting. What percentage of the women you're with kind of want the actual threesome versus what percentage kind of want to be with the girl, you know, mostly and have a threesome as an excuse to be with another girl? What percentage kind of want to be with you and interact with your girlfriend as an excuse to be with you?
All right. There are two sides to the question. All right. For the girls that I have dated, that I've been in a relationship with, who is my partner in tandem hunting, it's always a situation where she and I agree to have threesomes, and she wants to be with the girl, and she wants me to be with the girl. Okay? That's
right.
Always been the case.
Right, exactly.
Now, when we're out in the field talking to women, we will quickly, very quickly, eliminate women who are only interested in her or only interested in me. Most of the time, when we get into conversations with women, most of the time they're interested in both of us, but there are times, and of the ones that are the ones who are lopsided one side or the other, usually it's the girl on girl. She likes the girl more, and she's not really interested in me. She just wants to be with a girl.
Right.
We will quickly eliminate her. And then there have been situations where the girl is interested only in me. And I can usually detect that very quickly. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'll sense my girlfriend getting pissed off. And then I know, okay, she notices that the other girl is trying to work me. Or she senses that the other girl likes me and is not interested in my girlfriend. We will quickly eliminate that woman. We'll just move on.
Right. And last question. I think I just said the last one was the last question. But one thing that I noticed was interesting, and you mentioned, and friends of mine who are in these kind of relationships say, they say it's always important to have rules. And if you don't want to have a rule, just make up a rule and stick to it. So what generally are the rules?
Right. That's very true. You have to have that talk with your woman. What are the rules? That sort of thing. And I've found that in my relationships, she's fine with her doing anything she wants to do and me doing anything I want to do. And then I will add to that the rules that anything that happens must happen when all three of us are in the room together. Nothing happens when one person is out of the room going to the bathroom. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
Everything happens when all three of us are in the room. And the other rule is when we're out tandem hunting, either of us have veto rights. At any time, either of us have veto rights. Either of us can say, I don't want to do this. This stops. We're moving on to somebody else. And there's no discussion. We just drop it and we're moving on. Now, this gives her an out. At any time, she knows that she can say, nope, I don't want to do this. We're moving on. And there will be no discussion, no argument. You just move on. So there's a couple of rules I added which give her more security.
Right. Awesome. Great. So I think we've probably gone through this so thoroughly and in depth, but I think it's your MO is great. So let's open it up to some questions.
StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy. StyleLife.com presents Style Life Academy.
Okay, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number 1 now. Please be sure to press the number 1 only once. Otherwise, you will remove yourself from the question queue. All questions will be answered in the order in which they are received. And please give me a few seconds so I can get your first couple of questions.
While she's getting the question, David, what's next on your big list of things that are coming up?
I have a number of things I'm working on. I would highly recommend that the guys get on my newsletter. Go to davidshade.com and sign up for my newsletter. But it would be better if you go to givewomenhotphonesex.com and sign up for my newsletter there, because then Style will know that you signed up for me from that website. And when you sign up for my newsletter, you will hear about new products coming out. And I give a lot of really good advice on there, and I answer questions from other readers. A lot of good examples of what to do in specific situations. And on that list, you'll hear about new products coming out.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, were you finished, David?
Yes.
Okay. Our first question does come from Diz White. Your line is open.
It's Diz White, but that's okay. How are you, man? Good. David, I just finished reading your ebook, Masterful Lover, and kind of got me prepared for stuff you were going to say. My question, I just got into a committed relationship with a woman that lives 2.5 hours away from me. So what we do mainly is on the phone, and I'm just interested in finding out how can I bring our conversations to a more sexual level continuously while I'm on the phone with her. So, like, you know, let's say it's just phone sex every time, but make it really fun and interesting.
Okay. You guys are in a long-distance relationship. You live 2.5 hours apart. Do you see each other every weekend?
No, it's like once a month.
Once a month.
Yeah.
And how often do you talk on the phone?
5 to 6 times a week.
Okay. You see each other once a month. Yeah. I would recommend you see her more often than that. They need regular servicing, my friend.
Ah, okay.
They need regular servicing. You know, it's a long-distance relationship, which means it's still a physical relationship.
Right.
You still have to oblige her needs, my friend.
Right.
You need to see her more frequently than once a month if you want to keep her. Now, there are relationships which are farther apart, which rarely get physical, and it's strictly all phone. And you can certainly do that, but it is going to have a finite lifetime.
Right.
Now, so you see her once a month, and you talk to her on the phone 5 or 6 times a week. So you talk to her just about every day.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do phone sex with her, but that's going to get old eventually.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, the idea of phone sex is to make the real sex even better.
Right.
So you're going to have to drive over there more frequently, my friend.
What would you recommend, like 2-3 times a month?
Yeah, at least. It's going to have to be at least 3 times a month. Yeah, because what's going to happen, you're going to get all hot and bothered with phone sex, but then she's not going to get it. The idea of phone sex is to make the real sex even more exciting. And if she's not getting it, oh my, not good.
Okay.
You have to release that, all of that built up potential that you created. So you're going to have to see her more often.
Cool. Actually, that's awesome. You gave me an answer that I didn't even think about.
Well, you know, you can give her phone sex every night, but that's only going to go on so long.
Exactly.
Even if you did give her phone sex every night, it's not going to make the relationship ultimately more successful. So you need to think about, do you want to keep seeing somebody 2.5 hours away? Do you two mean enough to each other to move, or is this just an experiment? What? But 2.5 hours away and only seeing her once a month? No. She's not getting serviced often enough.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Next, we have Piccolo. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hello, guys.
Hey, Piccolo.
I have a question. At a certain point, I've experienced with the women I was with, sometimes, actually almost every time, during when a woman gets to the point of the orgasm, they back out and are you quickly hear them say no, because it becomes too intense. And I actually don't know when to push on so that they get a full orgasm and when I should hold back. I find that a bit difficult to decide. And
Let me ask you some questions, Piccolo.
Yeah.
And if I interrupt you, please excuse me. I've answered these questions quite a bit. I've done this quite a bit. So if I interrupt you, please let me do that. I'm trying to get somewhere. All right. Are you talking about one specific girl here?
In this case, my last girl I was with, yes.
Okay. And had she ever had an orgasm in her life?
In this case, absolutely not.
Okay.
I was the first one she got an orgasm.
Okay. This is a common problem for some women where right before they're going to have their very first orgasm, it gets too intense, they can't handle it, and they back out. Now,
yeah.
A lot of this, how old was she, by the way?
That was, I think she was, yeah, that was when she was 28.
28, okay, 28, that's kind of late. You got a really tough one, you got a real tough problem on your hands with the previous girlfriend. This is a really difficult problem, but certainly it can be solved, and a lot of my clients have done it. But the problem is, if she's already 28 years old and she hasn't had an orgasm and she clams up right before she has an orgasm, that's extremely difficult because she doesn't have – and the reason for it is because she is unable to lose control. She does not have the courage to lose control. She does not have the courage to let go. She does not have the sense of deservedness enough to be able to let go to her own body. And it's very unfortunate, but a lot of women have that problem. Now, the only way you're going to get around that, the only way, is if she surrenders to you. She cannot surrender to herself. She hasn't been able to for 28 years. So you need to take on the responsibility. She must surrender to you. So what you do is you are the one who is rubbing her clit. You don't do this in intercourse. Do this while you're rubbing her clit and while you're talking into her ear. And you make her surrender to you. And you tell her, first of all, do not make orgasm the goal. If you let her know that orgasm is the goal, you're going to get performance anxiety, and she's not going to come. So you have to tell her, baby, I just want you to feel the pleasure. I just want you to feel the pleasure. I just want you to let go because I love touching you. I love giving you pleasure. You do this because you love doing this. All right. And I just want you to feel the pleasure. And I want you to tell me how good it feels for you. I don't want anything to happen. I just want to adore you. I just want to give you pleasure. And make her surrender to you. And a great thing that one of my clients did is fabulous, where he would say, I want you to kiss me. And I want you to kiss me as passionately as the pleasure that you feel. So while he was rubbing her clitoris, she was kissing him. And as she became more aroused, she would begin kissing him more passionately. And he was with a woman who was in the same situation as yours, but she was a little younger. And while they were kissing, as she became more aroused, she started kissing more passionately. So what he did is an NLP pace and lead, where he was pacing her. He